131 in the chorus book. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so while we sing this song? My Father, Land of All.
Tell me one more time about Jesus. slipped on in the back row. It's sure been a long time coming. Preacher, tell me what I need to know. His words were like a cool drink of water. He said, sinners, come on down the aisle. So I went running for the altar. You should have seen my old friend, the preacher, smile. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness. Savior's face. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about my Savior's face. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace.
Again, let me say, sure it's good to be in church today, and you all say, that's most of you. That was pretty good. Some of you are here under protest or whatever. I think it's good for everybody to be in God's house every time the doors are open. And that's good. We have been privileged to serve the Lord for a long period of time. Once I was young, now I'm old. And but still praise God from all the good things that He does. And we just came back since I saw you last Sunday. On Monday night, we had 350 young people at Camp Tuscarora over in Pennsylvania. For what we call snow camp. Now, it was mud camp. There was no snow. They were throwing mud pies at each other and whatever. But there was a good number of young people at the camp Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's called Young Ambassadors for Christ. It's a ministry of Solid Rock Baptist Church. My son-in-law is the pastor there with his dad. And just a lot of exciting things happening. For young people. We've prayed and are praying and continue to pray for revival here, what I say, the Northeast. And things are improving. It's not an all-out revival, but it is moving in that direction. The wet wood is drying out just a little bit. Some of you can remember the times when you did have those big youth conferences and meetings and so forth and so on. And we have that. We thank God for it. And we extend an invitation to any independent Baptist church that has a desire to have their young people associate with other young people with good sound King James Bible standards. We'd encourage you all to remember us in that capacity. We have a Bible college. And I'm saying this because I somewhat was asked to say something about, it. And we have a Bible college. It's called Vision Baptist College. Presently, we have 100 students, college-age students, day students. They have dorms and so forth that they say, at dress code standards, the whole 10 yards that I believe you all will be pleased with. I think you could be comfortable in endorsing the biblical philosophy that's being presented there. It's just exciting what God is doing. I mentioned 2 weeks of camp in the summertime for our teenagers. And if you have young adults, we have young adult things going on. They just came back from Washington, D.C. with a retreat down yonder there for, they called it, what was it called? The
meeting.
The what?
The meeting.
The meeting, yeah. Okay. And so the idea is to get single young ladies with single young men. Okay. We have engagement rings there. And so it's all covered. We got them out of Cracker Jack boxes, but that's all right. But what I'm saying is things are happening, and I'm glad that you folks here are here. Don't lose what you have. All right? And this is not a sales pitch or something else like that. It's hard to find what you have here. The music, the singing, the testimony, the countenance, the desire to be in God's house, so forth and so on. Save it, keep it, preserve it, do what you possibly can to do it. And are you not glad somebody told you about Christ? And you know, sometimes some of us, the first time somebody tried to tell us about Christ, I've given my testimony in portions, but my brother got saved before me. He was at Rutgers in Newark. I was at NCE, Newark College of Engineering in Newark. We traveled back and forth. When he got saved from the top of his head, bottom of his feet. I mean, he was just a religious fanatic. He was a nut, okay? And we traveled from the little town of Belmar along the shore in Jersey up together in the car. He was driving in his car, not mine. And he'd preach at me. I mean, he'd just tell me over and over, George, you got to get saved. You got to get saved. You're going to hell. And he just kept telling me and telling me, Joe, be quiet. And, you know, but he was, what I say, a religious fact. He would go to get his car fixed. And while the mechanic's working on the car, he's underneath there telling the mechanic not what to do on the car, but telling the mechanic what he needs to do to get born again. And if you're not saved, that can be embarrassing. You know what I mean? But he's there just preaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, preaching the gospel. And we need more of that. We need folks. I noticed back yonder there, you have a track table and a track rack and a track wall and a track. You've got a lot of tracks back there. Okay? I trust that if you're in the sanctuary this morning, you're already saved. That's presumption on my part, but let's assume that. I hope it's a truism, but you're saved. So those tracts are not needed for you, per se, to read. But they're needed for the people on the outside. I said to the gentleman that I have not seen a better track rack, track area in all the churches that we've been in than what you folks have here. They're up to date, they're contemporary, they're online, they're King James, so forth and so on. So what we need to do is get them out of the track rack. All right? You're shy, reserved, you don't know all of what you ought to know. Somebody might ask you a question you don't have an answer to. That doesn't matter. It's all in these little tracks, for the most part, what you would need to tell them. All right? I mean, play mute. And let them take it. You laugh, but it would work. It's better to do something than nothing. And what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm looking for your, I'm looking at, see your faces, you know, would you take one, just one, between now and next week? You can't take two, only one, and you will give it out, one, between now and next week. You can give it out to somebody, you can leave it somewhere where somebody will find it. I told you about the gentleman who put them in the bottles and threw them in the ocean. Did I tell you about that? Okay, good. And, I don't suggest you drive over to Jersey, go out on a jetty to take a bottle and throw it out. Not for one. If you're going to do that, you want a couple dozen of them at least. But take it if you're too shy and just leave it. Ladies' room, somewhere along the way. Because it'll do a whole lot more good than back there. It takes about seven, they'd say scientific, about seven times somebody has to get a track before they get saved. Before they trust Christ as their Savior. And so we're way behind in this part of the country. We're way behind. Take it. And then next Sunday, report to somebody. I did. I gave it to somebody, and they said somebody else gave it to me. And it happened to be from the same place. The gospel message needs to get out. This track and these tracks here are ideal. Now, I have not read them all, but they are good publishers who publish the tracks. So in order to leave today, you now have a ticket. You're going to a basketball game. You need to have a ticket to get in. To go back home, you need a track. Do you all get that idea? In order to exit, you have to have one of these in your hand. And I'm going to be standing back there with my club, either a 3-iron or 4-iron. I'm going to stand back there with my club. And if you don't have one, you're not getting out. We are a warm, friendly church here. Please, please. I'm not going to be standing back there. I'm not going to be checking if you have one, so forth and so on. But take one. So I could take a whole lot. Take one and give it out. Can we do that? Can I hear an amen like we're going to do that?
Amen.
Seriously. And just report. You'll have some interesting experiences. Somebody's going to be a Christian that you go to hand it to. Oh, they'll be elated that there's somebody who cares about other people sufficient enough to pass out a gospel tract. And again, I'm going to say to the shy folks, you're standing in the grocery line. It's your turn to check out. She's pushing the stuff through. Just leave it laying there. It's better than laying in the back because most of the folks here are saved. Chances are those who are standing in line are not. And they'll look at this and say, what? The Big Bang. What is that about? Well done. Professionally done. These are not like some of the tracks of old where we ran them off on the mimeograph machine. Spirit duplicator. You know, some of you remember those days. But this is first class. And the content is first class. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So please do that. And you'll see God's been honoring. God is honoring. God has honored. And God will honor in the days that lie ahead. In your Bibles this morning, the book of Nehemiah. Every book in the Bible is good. I mentioned before, as we traveled, we listened to the Bible on tape, on CDs. And we've been going through some of the Old Testament Bible. And we've gotten into some of the more dynamic books, like 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and all the genealogies and all. It's a little hard when I'm driving. My wife has to check my pulse. Because when you start listening to the genealogies and going, I get a little bit uptight. All right? So I said, let's go. Hey, Ma, get the New Testament book. All right? And our journey here, because I was going to be in Nehemiah, I said, well, let's read some of Nehemiah, okay? It's a little bit more dynamic, a little bit more invigorating, and so forth and so on. Nehemiah was a man who recognized what God wanted for him. When destruction came upon Jerusalem, he was heartbroken. And I'm glad there's a group of people here who are heartbroken. Now, we'll sing a song. We are happy people. Praise the Lord. But that's on one side. But we are heartbroken. I said the first time I think about tears, we ought to be heartbroken. We ought to be upset about what's happening. And Nehemiah was such a man. He got a bad report about his homeland. And because of that bad report, he did some things that I want to suggest to you and to me that we might try to do. Not synthetic, artificial tears, but real tears. This poor man cried. And so in our prayer time and in our witnessing time and in our concern time, there ought to be something that's tender in our heart. I'm glad somebody came to me. I mentioned this morning in Sunday school class that my brother was a religious fanatic. You know what that means? He's a nut. And I mentioned to you before that right now, not right now, but yesterday and tomorrow, he'll be standing in front of the NBA basketball team from Cleveland. Anybody know what team that is?
Cavaliers.
And is there LeBron James or somebody plays on that team? My brother, you know, is on a first-name basis with him because he stands out in the freezing cold. And as they come into the stadium, he's out there passing them tracks. He gave him one yesterday. Give him another one today. Give him another one today. Give him another one today. And that's what I went to college with all the time. Some of it's rubbed off. Not enough, but some of it's rubbed off. And we need to have some religious fanatics once again. That everywhere we go, we're going to leave our tracks behind. We're going to talk to people about the Lord. Nehemiah said this, I'm doing a great work. I'm doing a great work. I wonder if we all, and I'm not going to ask you to say it as a group, but I wonder if we all could say, I'm doing a great work. You're going to pick one of these tracks up, you're going to hand it to somebody, and you can say, I did a great work. What's the big deal about handing one track out to that one person who got it, read it, prayed? It's a great deal. It's a big deal. And you are doing a great work. So if we have a body of believers who are anxious to do a great work, revival is possible. It takes prayer, but with that prayer, we need to put some feet. We're doing a great work. Nehemiah saw what happened. Does it not break your heart? What you... Marriage is today ending 1 out of 2 in divorce. Some of you have experienced the heartache and the grief of the broken home syndrome. We once again cry. God's there to comfort you. God's there to sustain you. God's there to help you. God's there to watch out for you. But you also need to recognize, I went down a path that I shouldn't have gone down. And some of us say, I don't want my children to go down that path. I don't want my loved ones to go down that path. And it's the independent fundamental Bible-believing church that will help to keep people on that straight. That's why we were excited about 350 kids at snow camp. I mean, they heard hellfire and brimstone preaching. You don't sit within 6 inches of the opposite sex until you're married. You hear me? 6 inches. You don't sit any closer, and you don't touch her. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you don't touch her. Why? Because you're abstaining from all appearance of evil, because that appearance of evil will get you to evil. And we're establishing a standard for you. You say you can do that in today's generation? Yes, you can. If you set that for a goal, you're going to be perfect? No, but you're going to be better than if you didn't set it. Mom and dad say, well, I can't get my kid to do that. Well, you can certainly make him feel guilty when he does. And that guilt might change the path upon which he's trotting down. Nehemiah saw what happened. He went over to see what happened. Didn't see it when his first chapter 1. But he saw what happened. And because of that, he sat down. Let's look at verse number 2. And Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men in Judah, and I asked them, chapter 1, verse 2, I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, concerning Jerusalem. Verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. That which was sacred and dear to him met with destruction. Met with the enemy. And as such, and when he got that news, notice in verse number 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words, when he heard that, when he heard what's happening in America in our public schools, when he heard what's happening in our families, when he heard what's happening in our communities, he sat down and mourned. We need to have that mindset. We do not want to leave to our posterity that which has been messed with and tampered with and aligned along the way. Verse number 4, and it came to pass, Nehemiah speaking, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. We have had what we call, days of prayer and fasting. Sometimes we get just a little bit disturbed beyond the point that nobody needs to declare or make a declaration that church Tuesday from, we're going to have 24-hour prayer time. We're going to have 24-hour, you're going to give something up like the Catholics did for Lent. But it just gets to the point where you just lose your appetite. You just lose your appetite. Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to ye? All that passed by? Try sitting in the springtime in a public school parking lot and see what passes by. Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you? You need to love them. You need to be fond of them. You need to care for them. You need to help them. We said just a moment ago, 1 out of 2 divorce rate. 1 out of 2. Is the one happier than the one of the other two? The one of the other two is happier than the one. Is it nothing? We had to brag on young couples who waited until they were married. It's a foreign idea, but it's a good idea. It's a Bible idea, and it ought to be that way. Is it nothing to you? I notice here that Nehemiah, he heard these words. Would today we'd have more folks sitting in church hearing the word of God proclaimed and preached? Would we have a congregation that was eager and excited about hearing what the Bible had to say? I tell you, you sing those songs with great dynamics because you believe it. You want that to be part of the culture, not just this church culture, but this church culture to once again permeate on the outside so it becomes a normal culture. Now, we're never going to have heaven on earth, but we certainly can be marching in that direction. Onward, Christian souls, we ought to be marching in that direction. Nehemiah was doing a great work. Let me ask you to turn to another. We're going to come right back here, so just stay there. Let me read a verse for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. Nehemiah didn't say anything in 1 Corinthians, but Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Biblical standards don't change. Styles may change, but biblical standards do not change. Women ought to be adorned in modest apparel. Standards don't change. Biblical standards don't change. Amen? When we hear that they are, we ought to be mourning over the fact. Somebody handed me a picture of spring fashions. Men adorned in ladies' apparel. I mean, it was a regular advertisement type of thing of the spring styles. We oohed and oh, can't believe it. But when the coin is flipped the other way around, we have men attired in women's apparel. But we have now become accustomed to women being clothed in what? Men's clothing. And we have what? Become accustomed to it? This poor man cried. We have become so accustomed to the ladies and men. But when I saw that picture of three or four guys dressed in female suits, skirts, yeah, it's crazy. This poor congregation cries. Amen? And we have a desire to see it change. What's on the outside doesn't save you on the inside. But what's on the inside ought to manifest itself on the outside. If the Bible teaches it's a shame for a man, it's a shame. Then we ought to be part of that program. Along the way, sin needs to be made exceedingly sinful once again. Nehemiah cried. He knew he was doing a great work. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm not exactly sure why I wrote these words down, but it's a song. Was that an amen, Ma? I'm not exactly sure why I wrote these words down. Hear ye the master's call, give me your best. For be it great or small, that is the test. Do then the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. But he asks from every one of us our best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but is due our best, our all. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. I guess the idea is let's do something for God. I've been here a few times and you've heard me say that just, you know, that's kind of like new to your ears. Do something for God. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. Nehemiah, he did what Paul said. He was abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me give you 1, 2, 3, 4. And then when I told you ahead of time how many points I have. Now you're going to know, figure out when I get to point 3. I'm almost done. When I get to point 4, I am done. You're going to go off to sleep. Don't do that. Don't do that. Turn Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. I'm going to read them again. You follow in your Bible, please. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept. I sat down and wept. I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Would our congregation do that? Without declaring this day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it's a day of church fasting. But would we just do that? Because our hearts are so engulfed in mourning concerning a people. You are hard pressed to find a church in the Northeast that stands like this church stands. Now you better be under awares that the devil's not excited about what you folks have acquired here, maintained here, and have a dream of doing in the days that lie ahead. You better be praying double hard that it would be maintained and sustained and expanded. Hear ye the master's call. Give me your best. When Nehemiah heard these words, he sat down. He just couldn't handle it anymore. You talk about divorce at 50%. That'll bring a lot of tears to our eyes. The broken homes, the broken family, and it hurts. And looking at your faces, there is some connection with divorce in your background, not you personally, but family members and so forth. There ought to be tears. It ought to break us up so much that we just talk to God. Nehemiah said, I spoke. He sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed. He talked with God. Thank God for your family. You've got a strong family. Thank God for it. If there's trials and tribulations in your family, you know there's a God in heaven that can help you with those trials and tribulations. Some at this point in time might be irreversible, but don't give up. God can be a God of miracles in your home. Amen. We are happy people. Tuesday of this week, Ma and I celebrate our 53rd wedding anniversary. Wow. Woo. Whoopee. Isn't that something? On your part. Amen. That hasn't put up with me. I understand. I understand. When we were married, we knew nothing. I couldn't spell divorce. I don't even think I could spell it today. So it was for life. And that's the way it is. It's for better, for worse. It's been great. It's been great. And I would suggest to you men to just say it's great. It's great. The culture has you men moaning and groaning like a little bunch of sissies. My wife never puts the gun. My wife never cooks the meals. Whatever she cook, you love. You look at me like that's kind of strange. I would not want to hurt my wife's feelings about anything she cooked. This morning, along with my tasty cakes, I wouldn't complain about it. Not a bite. But I have two scrambled eggs every morning. And we were in Cracker Barrel, and they gave me some bacon bits, you know, and little bacon things, and they give you a little piece of. Anyway, we carried them home. She thought she was going to do me a favor. And she made the scrambled egg, and she put the bacon bits in it, the bacon pieces of bacon and stuff like that. Well, it's hard for a man with no teeth, you know, false teeth, to chew all those bacon bits. And then if I'm not careful, they get caught up on top of my plate. And then, oh, I can't do that in public. And I honestly sat on my side of the table in the motorhome, and I said, I know I'm going to hurt her feelings if I get up and put them in the sink. But if I don't, I won't be able to talk. And I knew my wife, she would understand. So I ate as many of the soft ones as I could. The other ones I could put in a pea shooter. So I didn't eat them. And she felt bad, like she had not made my breakfast to my liking. I think that's the way it ought to be. I want to please her. She wants to please me. It just ought to be. We live together in an 8-foot by 30-foot glove compartment. You learn, if you hadn't already, to like each other and to love each other. We need to once again raise that idea up, fellas. It is a touchy subject. But when the anniversary comes, 53 of them. I don't know, 53 things I could buy her. I ran out of things. We don't need to give each other a present. We gave each other ourselves. You know, there's a lot of men sitting out here that go, I don't know what I'm going to get for my wife. If I don't get her something, she's going to, oh my goodness, she's not going to talk to me. I got to get my wife something. I've got to sell my golf club so I can get her something. I got to get her something or she's going to be mad at me. If I was you, I wouldn't get her anything. If that's her mindset, that the only reason she's going to like you is because you were kind to her on your anniversary, you better be kind to her all other 364 days and not just on an anniversary. Ladies, if you have that mindset, you didn't get me anything for my anniversary. I don't know what I'm going to do. I advise him, don't get her anything. This is free. It's marital counseling. It's a love relationship. It's a, I respect you. I respect you. I want you to, and so forth and so on. Why wait to an anniversary to get your wife something? Why wait to an anniversary to get your husband something? Do you need to get him something to keep him happy? He ought to be happy because I got her. I got her. I don't know if she's happy because she got me, but everyone's, we'll take a vote on that. But anyway, she's happy because she got me. And we're happy as Christians. I found the Lord, a rich man am I. Can you say that? I mean, I found the Lord, a rich man am I. I may not have much, but I've got the Lord. And I'm a rich man. It's been a fabulous trip. It's just been exciting. It really has. We lived in a $2.5 million beachfront home in a little town called Seagirt. Well, it wasn't Seagirt. We lived in Seagirt, but Bayhead. You know anything about Jersey? You know, we lived in that home. Wow. Another home, we had people come in clean for us and stuff like that. Wow. God's good when you put him first. Today, I don't have a home. I don't have a car. I don't have whatever. God's good. Oh, where do you live? I don't know. In other words, we move around, so I really don't know that way. But we live with a church family that was gracious enough to give us a subterranean apartment where Ma and I stay when we're back home. It's not ours, but it's ours to stay in. God's taking care of that. God's being good. What I'm saying to you, there's no better way than to put God first, your marriage, husband, wife, put them first. Put your kids next. Yoo-hoo. Okay? You're not going to have good kids if you don't have a good mommy. Amen. You're not going to have a good marriage unless you have a good family. And good family, you need a good daddy. I like that song. I've said it before, but I want to marry daddy when I grow up. I'm glad my KK, JJ, Dee Dee wanted to marry daddy when they grew up. I had to tell them one day that I was already married and it broke their heart. So they picked out somebody who I think has characteristics of daddy. So that when my daughter came and said, I think he's interested, I said, I think I'm interested. And I did all in my power to make sure this man was interested in this girl and this girl was interested in that man. Was it prearranged? No. But I just made sure they were in close proximity, that far apart. Some of you misunderstand that close proximity business. Nehemiah was concerned for his people. We are, as fundamental Baptists, we are concerned for our church. We are concerned for our people. We are concerned right here for our people. Nehemiah saw the impact of what was happening. I hope you do. I hope you see the satanic, pagan happenings in our nation, and that you would fast, and you would pray, 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 and you would pray. We had a little thing. I think my girls at this time, we lived on a ranch, quote unquote, in New Jersey. You have a ranch, it's something else. 2.5 acres and you got a ranch. My little girl would go to bed. We did it with each one of them. But I'd go in there and while they were asleep, it was a ritual. Sound asleep. Laying in bed. It'd be 11:30 at night. She's, you ever sleep with somebody when they sleep? You know, that's ugly. It's ugly. Even my beautiful little girl. But I'd go in there, quiet, and I'd get down, and I'd pray by the side of her bed. God, give her back to me. She looked like she was dead. Literally, just sound asleep. Slow breathing. You're worried about her taking the next one because she's just breathing slow. And in my mind, I allowed myself the privilege or whatever to conceive of her being dead. What would I do if she was? And I blew that day with things I wanted to do and not things that would have benefited her, the family, her education. And there she laid. I get down there, God. And I'd pray, I'm sorry, please give her back to me. I don't know how you can do it, God, but can you? And I'm not staging. I could just beg God. I did beg God. I would beg God. Give her back to me. If you give her back to me, I'll be a better daddy than I was today. I didn't do what I should have, or I might have done something I might not have done, and so forth. And I just deal with God. God, give her back. I'll be a better daddy. Prayed. She was sound asleep. Asking God to give her back. I'm saying to you daddies out here, you got a daughter? You got a son? Wait when he's asleep. And just look at him. And I recognize God be gracious to give you another day with him. And what would you do if God gave you another day? We've got kids. We need to be loving them. God, I'll help her. She needed help, and I pushed her off. She wanted to go someplace, and I didn't help her. This poor man cried. Nehemiah recognized he was doing a good work. Parents in here, grandparents in here, recognize you're doing a good work, an awesome responsibility. You've got grandkids, great-grandkids, you've got kids. Let them know beyond, I really do love you. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll go out and I'll buy them roses. Well, that's all right, you want to buy them roses, but not to justify the fact that you love them. This is not a course in raising kids, but it certainly would be beneficial if we spent just a little bit more love time with our kids. Nehemiah saw the impact of what he's doing. Parents, you see the impact of what you're doing? You're training somebody's wife. You're training somebody's husband. That's scary. My son-in-law, and my son-in-law, they looked at my daughters, but then they also looked at my wife. And they also looked at Rev. And they kind of figured, if that's the way she is, and that's the way he is, there's a good chance that that's the way she is. And up until this point in time, they're satisfied with the product that was produced under our label, Seabold. They're satisfied. And I told them, each one of them, it's satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. And they never paid me for anything, so I'm not taking them back. They're theirs. Nehemiah saw the impact of what he's doing. Let me go quickly. Nehemiah, point number two, Nehemiah saw the impact. That's one. Second point, saw the immensity of what he was doing. There was a wall that was broken down. There was a wall that was destroyed. Nehemiah went out in chapter 2 and 3, went out and searched out the land and saw what was done. Nehemiah 4:19. There's a verse I want to read for you. You may turn to it. 4:19. And I, that's Nehemiah, said unto the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, the work is great and large. The work is great and large. We need to anticipate that the work in days to come is going to be great and large. God in you, the hope. God working in you, the hope. This work is great and large. Amen? That's three of you. It's going to take more than three of you. The work is great and large. It is. Having you and God, that's sufficient. But God wants more. I'm going to put an emphasis on number. Don't misunderstand. But there are folks who need to hear what you were privileged to hear who haven't heard it. The work is great and it's large. There's a lot of folks who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel message. Not once. That's why you take those tracks and they got the gospel message in it and they'll hear a clear presentation. They'll read a clear presentation. That's not an end in itself. It is an end. But there's other ways of doing it. Get the gospel out of this place. Nehemiah saw the immensity. He said, the work is great and large. How large is Pennsylvania? How large is your little town? Start right there. How large is your neighborhood? And work your way out. It is great. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's great. But it needs to start right here. But it needs to start. You've heard that so many times. It needs to start right here. But it needs to start. Start by taking the gospel track. Can I only take one? If you take one and get it out, you know how many more that will be this week than last week? If I pass a little piece of notebook paper and say, how many tracks did we pass out this week? I think if we do one a piece between now and next week, it's going to be a whole lot better. And get it out. Just don't hand it. You can pray about it. You can ask God to bless it. Church's name is on the back. Keep the phone handy. You can correspond with people, so forth and so on. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. Nehemiah said, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together. Notice this, unto the half thereof. Well, we've been trying and we've been doing, but to the half thereof. Hey, this is half the congregation. More chairs in the back. To the half thereof. Nehemiah kept on working, and it was finished. The wall was finished. God's not done with the people here. No, he's not. And so maybe half, but he's not completely done, and who knows what God has in store for you in the days that lie ahead. Where there is no vision, that's an understanding of the word of God, but where there is no vision, the people perish. And so we need to have that. That vision of God's capability, and certainly he is. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. And that next little section says something about, for the people had a mind to work. Not just the pulpit ministry, not just the elders, not just but the people had a mind to work. What can you do? I don't know how much stamps cost nowadays. We have forever stamps. But you can put this in an envelope and mail it to the lady across the street that you're afraid to talk to, or the man across the street. Just put it in an envelope. He'll know who it came from. And mail it over to him. Curiosity will get him to open up the envelope. Curiosity will get him to sit down and read it. And that's an investment of, what, 55 cents or something like that? You want to mail out two? It's about a buck. Do that 7 days. It's a $7 investment to get the gospel into seven homes. Well, I'm too shy. Well, let the mailman be the bold one. Nehemiah saw the impact and he saw the immensity of what he had to do. For the people had a mind to work. It wasn't just Nehemiah. Nehemiah had a mind to work. Number three, Nehemiah saw the importance of what he was doing. The importance of what he's doing. Nehemiah 4 and 14, verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember, the Lord is great and terrible. That means strong. And fight for your brethren and your daughters and your wives and your houses. You know that little song, Onward Christian Soldiers? My wife said, honey, please don't sing. But if you sing with me, that won't be so bad. Can you know Onward Christian Soldiers? Can we sing that? Come on, the song reader's coming. And we're going to sing Onward Christian Soldiers. We sing it, but I want it to take on a new meaning. That we are Christian soldiers. It was a song of the faith in years past. It needs to be the song of faith today. Marching as to war. I'll be done in a minute. Oh, that's fine. Okay. I've done embarrassed myself. He's going to give us an introduction. 6:20. When they took that crowd out of the closet, it's about time we put that crowd back where they belong and God's children once again march forward for God. Amen? One last verse. There's a lot of last verses, you know that? Now in closing, you ever hear that? Now in closing. How many doors do we have in this place? Now in closing. Verse 11, chapter 6, it said here, Nehemiah was being challenged to stop doing what God wanted him to do. And he made a simple statement I think is profound. And I said, Nehemiah speaking, and I said, should such a man as I flee? You can probably think of some folks who were once in the battalion of armored Christian soldiers who have fled. But you're here this morning and you need to say, should such a man as I flee? Should I not be faithful to God's house? Should I not be faithful to proclaiming the word? Should I not be faithful to my family? Should I not be faithful? Yes. You're not going to flee. You're going to keep on keeping on till Jesus comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these dear folks. We thank you for your word. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will speak to our hearts. We trust it will. Lord, I apologize for not doing what I should have done here today, but Lord, I pray that you would take what little was done and make it great. Lord, greater are you than us. And Lord, we acknowledge that. It doesn't even call for an acknowledgement. It's reality. And everybody knows that. And Lord, yet we want to do something for you as a body of believers here in this place. Help us to stand without apology for the old time gospel. Help us to go forth into a lost and dying world, carrying the good news that Jesus saves. Give us, Holy Spirit, boldness. Fill us with your power. Lord, cleanse us where cleansing is needed. Empower us where power is needed. Again, we thank you for this place. Pray that your hand of blessing might be upon it. Accomplish great things, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, normally at the end of a service, there's an invitation. Your invitation is do something for God. If you're carrying a burden, God's there ready to hear what your burden is. I don't know what your burden is, but I dare say each one of us has a burden. Maybe it's a young one, a young person. Maybe it's a, whatever it may be. Ask God to help you through that. God can do some great things. There's an old-fashioned altar down here. You can pray. I think we just ought to pray. And some of us have a hard time getting down and a harder time getting back up. And that ought not to stop you from praying. Pray. And ask God to put his continued hand of blessing on this place. To raise it up. It is raised up, but it can get a little higher. A little higher. A little higher. I'm going up higher, yes, higher someday, the songwriter said. And some of that ought to be today. So we don't have so far to travel to the highlands. If you want to pray, he's going to play just a little bit. I know I'm over time, but forgive me. So bow your heads, close your eyes. You can come down here and pray. We're just going to take about a minute, and you can pray about something right there in your seat. Father, dismiss us with your blessing, safety, and prosperity as we go. Help us be a testimony for you. Give us wisdom in the days that lie ahead. Use us in a mighty way, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.